you in touch with Michigan and the world.
It's Thursday, and don't forget Free for All Friday tomorrow. Everything's free game tomorrow. The hotline's 888-900-9966. Quickly, Dave is on the line in Grand Rapids. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you. You just had a guest from the Republican Party, a representative there, and I've talked and spoken to people in Grand Rapids in the Republican Party, and I've been very honest with them. I am so disappointed in the results of the last 2 years, or the last 4 years, for that matter, of the Republican Party. They really don't deserve our vote on their record.
There's a lot of truth to that, Dave. Disappointment, I think, is being kind. I mean, the Democrats, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, might as well be in charge based on the results over the last year, for sure, since we went to the polls in November of 2014. Nothing has changed. And unfortunately, Dave, I think you're right. I have to run.
Changed, but it's even gotten worse.
Well, yeah, it actually has gotten worse. We just lifted the debt ceiling permanently, it seems. Dave, thanks for checking in. The phone number is 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. You're welcome to join us. Tomorrow's a good day, Free for All Friday. Bring all your comments, your concerns, and whatever else you've got. Shifting gears to State Representative Brent Iden, joining us from the 61st District here, a Republican in the Michigan House. The Senate has unanimously approved the Iden bill to reform asset forfeiture laws here in the state. And here to explain it is the representative himself. Brent, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm responding well to the beatings. Thank you for asking.
You and I both.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, get up, son. Suck it up. Yeah, I'm good. Tell me about, asset forfeiture. We've talked about it a lot here, and I've gotten some pushback from my friends in the state police and elsewhere saying that I don't understand it exactly. So we've had a lot of really, I think, productive conversations about asset forfeiture, when it's good, when it's bad. Tell me about this bill.
Basically, unanimous approval, which is great. It's always good to see some bipartisan legislation get some traction. And basically, what civil asset forfeiture is, and this is an example I use regularly, let's say that you loan your car to a friend. And that particular friend happens to get pulled over by the police. And let's say that that same friend might happen to have a small amount of marijuana or some other substance that would be illegal in the car. At that point in time, under the way the law used to be written, the police would be able to then seize the asset, in that particular case, the car, even though it didn't belong to the driver or the person that had the illegal substance on, and that was your car. So what we've done is we've recrafted the law to just kind of tighten things up a little bit. It's got more reporting requirements in there. It makes sure that there's a clear and convincing evidence on certain things, and basically that you can prove these assets belong to these people. We haven't taken anything away from the state police, in my opinion, or our local law enforcement officials. I'm from the Kalamazoo area. Not a huge problem we had in Kalamazoo, but we just said that look, across the state there are issues. We need to address these issues, and that's what this law does. And I think it's really going to be helpful. And although I did get a little pushback from my friends in the law enforcement community as well, I really think that in the end this is going to be best for our citizens.
Well, one of the things that we had discussions about back and forth on my end with law enforcement was, if they find somebody on that corridor of I-94, for example, and they're shipping drugs, and they pull a car over, and he's got $25,000 in cash and no real explanation of how he got the cash, they seize the money, and oftentimes they keep the money. And I said, well, now how is it illegal just to have cash? They said, listen, he's some guy who's driving down the road, and the cash is sometimes might be hidden in the door panel. He goes, listen, he has no explanation for $25,000 in the door. He's either committed a crime or he's about to. And I say, well, about to or might have, that's not the lie. And they said, here's the deal. We hold on to it, and if they, can prove some reason for having the money, they get it back. I don't know if that's always true, but that was the conversation we had. So let me take it one step further on the example you gave, Brant, which was, okay, what if your car is stolen? And somebody was found with illegal drugs in the car. Was it also taken away then, too, even if the car was stolen?
In that particular case, no, because it was a theft, the car would be returned to you, and that wasn't exactly an example that came up. I mean, I heard stories from across the state where law enforcement would enter a home, and whether or not these people in this one particular instance, the young lady had her medical marijuana card, and the police seized everything in the house, including the kids' Christmas presents. I just felt that was kind of above and beyond what we need to be doing. And oftentimes, these items would then be sold, and the money would go back into the law enforcement community, which still can happen.
Suggesting that stealing Christmas is just a little too much.
I think that's just a little over the top, in my opinion. Yeah.
All right, so we're clear on that. Stealing Christmas, probably just a little over the top, just so we're
a
clear.
Little over the top.
Fair enough. Okay, where are we in this path to having it become the law of the land?
Well, great news is that last Wednesday the governor signed it, and so it takes immediate effect, and we're now, what we're going to do next, now that we've, you know, I believe this is just a start in the process, though. We've tightened up some of the laws. We've made it, more reporting requirements, and I believe, and I'm working with the Mackinac Center on this, and so are some of my other colleagues, that there's further reforms that we can do yet in Michigan to make sure that, you know, people's private property is being protected, and I'm going to continue to work on that. But the good news is that the governor signed this, and we've made it past step one, I should say.
All right, so we've got that checked off our bucket list of things to do, and I appreciate that. I do think it's important. And all kidding aside, which is hard for me some days, but all kidding aside, it is an important step. And so I guess I tip my hat to you because I find that a bill that is supported unanimously is pretty rare these days. So, Brant Iden, greatly appreciate your time and your efforts.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right. Have a great day, my friend.
You too.
That's State Rep Brant Iden, 61st District for the Michigan House of Representatives. He got his bill approved unanimously and signed by the governor to reform asset forfeiture laws in the state of Michigan. So there you have it. We'll have some final thoughts here. And did you know that if you have a football team that, you know, runs up the score, college football team specifically, and they win big, you're probably a racist? Your football team's probably a racist? No, I'll tell you all about it when we come back right here on the Steve Gruber Show.